Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to step two of Financial Freedom, Saving a Beginner Emergency Fund. And if you're joining us for the first time, my name is Josh, one of the pastors here at Lifehouse, and we're just so excited about helping you win with money. Saving a beginner emergency fund, step two. What is a beginner emergency fund? Well, this is where we recommend in step two, after making a budget, planning out your finances, step two is setting aside about $1,000 for a rainy day fund. Now, this is a fund that's going to take care of most emergencies as they come up. Maybe your car gets a hole in the tire, or your bicycle breaks, or your phone breaks, you lose a phone, or something happens. Instead of going into debt, instead of spending money on your credit card, instead of going into mother-in-law debt, or instead of asking your parents for money, or borrowing against something, you have enough money to cover a minor expense. And we find that this beginner emergency fund covers, you know, maybe 95% of most emergencies. Most emergencies are not bigger than this. Now, there are going to be some emergencies bigger than this, and we're going to look at that in the next steps. But this is a fund just to cover those little things that come up in life as we're going through and getting out of debt. And I want to encourage you, put this somewhere that you can't access easily so that you won't be tempted to spend it, on a holiday or that iPhone. So you put this in an account maybe that doesn't have internet banking or maybe doesn't have a card attached, because if it's easy, if easily accessible, it's easily spendable. So put it somewhere. Don't put it under your bed, of course. You may lose it. Now, Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." I want to ask you, what do wise people do with their money in a good season? Well, Proverbs 21:20 says they store up food and olive oil. So in a good season, it's good to go ahead. It's good to have margin, and it's good to store up for a rainy season. I want to ask you today, maybe you're listening or watching, do you need plastic surgery? You may say, what? What are you talking about? I thought this was a financial freedom course. Yes, I'm talking about spending money on plastic. Maybe you've got trouble. You spend too much on your credit card or on your debit card. Maybe you need some surgery. You need to cut them up. Do you need plastic surgery? I would recommend if you have trouble spending on a credit card, you need to switch to a debit card. And this is where the money comes directly from your bank account. This also helps with budgeting and you can actually spend the money that you have. With a credit card, you can see the money that you've spent, but it's like looking in the rear vision mirror. You don't have a good, accurate perception on where you're going, especially if you're just getting started. But you may say, but what about the points, my credit card points? Well, oftentimes stores and companies, they have a point system, but they're just trying to get you to spend more money at the store. You need to see it for what it is. Be wise, live on the money that you have in the bank, not on what you can repay in the future. And, speaking with different wealthy people and people who are doing well in business in different areas of their life, I've never heard a wealthy person saying, see this beautiful house and car and family and all of this wealth I have. See all of this wealth. It's all because of credit card points. I've never heard anyone say that. And so let's not live our life a point system or plastic or anything like that. Maybe we need some plastic surgery if you've got too many cards or different things. And live on your own money. Don't live on other people's money. Plastic versus cash. We live in an increasingly cashless society. And of course, we're not going to try and fight that. It's useful and it saves us time. But we need to know that a study by Dun & Bradstreet, they found that people spend 12 to 18% more when using credit cards instead of cash. And actually, McDonald's has said that its average ticket is $7 when people use cards versus $4.50 for cash. And so all of this, use your phone, use your card, just pay here, pay there. You don't feel anything. And so you actually spend more money than if you had to get that coin out of your pocket. Now, Matt, not advocating that we need to go back to cash and hold on to cash, but we do need to realize that it's easier to spend money than ever. And that's why a budget is so important, because even if we're spending on plastic or on our phones or different contactless ways of spending, we need to have a limit to how much we're spending. But there is a heart connection. When we spend cash, something physical, it actually connects to our heart, connects to our bank. When we spend something on a debit card, we do feel that because we know the money's coming out of our bank. When we spend money on a credit card, it's almost like we don't feel it because we spend it, but it doesn't come out of our bank immediately, but you will feel it the next month when it comes out of your bank. And so let's be wise with that. Maybe you need some plastic surgery if you've got too much plastic in your life. So saving up a beginner emergency fund. So let's go ahead. Let's save up that $1,000 initially. Some other things we want to get into practice in this step is life insurance. Big question. People often talk about life insurance. Now, life insurance is a wise thing to take out. This supports anyone that relies on your income, for example, your spouse or your kids, in the case of your death. Well, we don't want to think about that. But when you die, if you've got people that depend on your income, they need money so that they can live because they don't have you to make an income anymore. So what we need to do, a recommended amount, is to take out insurance that's equal to 12 times the income that is needed each year. So for example, if our family needs $100,000 per year, we should take out insurance 12 times that. That would actually be $1.2 million of insurance. That would be a lot. But this means that in the case of someone dying and their family needed $100,000, they could invest that money, $1.2 million, and that could be invested, and up to 8% could be drawn out each year to live on, leaving a buffer for the investment of 4% to grow and also account for inflation. Now, that's assuming that over average, as the average mutual funds, we're going to look at that in a later step, don't worry, are making an average of 12% per year. So the money is continuing to grow at 12%. You're taking out 8%, which would be $96,000 per year to live on. There's 2% maybe accounting for inflation, and there's a 2% buffer in case there's some down years or some up years there. Now, you may say, but I have a pension. Well, in most cases, a government pension will not cover a family's needs. And depending what countries you're in, there is social insurance and different things, but it's usually in the realm of, say, $1,000 a month or $1,500 a month, which is usually less than what a family needs. And so don't leave your family in debt, or don't leave your family struggling if you happen to pass away. And sometimes I know families that this has happened to them. We don't want to live like that. Now, let's live comfortably. Let's live with margin. And if the worst thing does happen, that we know our families are taken care of because they have this lump sum. They're not going to spend it. They're going to invest it, but they're going to draw out 8% every year that they're going to live on and have the same income that they have had. All right, different types of insurance. There's term life insurance and there's whole life insurance, the two main life insurances. Term life insurance is the most simple and inexpensive way of life insurance. It's easily available. You don't need a broker. You don't need a salesperson. You just go online and you just sign up. The cost is approximately $10 per $100,000 of insurance. So it's relatively inexpensive. So for $100,000 of insurance, that would be $10 per month. For $1 million of insurance, that would be $100 per month. The term means that over the term, maybe that's 20 years or 30 years, that the price doesn't change. It doesn't go up as you get older. It actually just stays the same. So depending on how old you are when you start will determine your rate. How long should the term be? Well, in most cases, it should cover your kids growing up and going to college. So for example, if your child is 1 year old right now, you might want to get 20 years of term life insurance, which means you are paying insurance for 20 years. And then if you happen to pass away in 20 years, well, in 20 years, your kid is grown up, they're in college, they're good to go. And you've been saving, investing, and so your spouse doesn't need the insurance and your children don't need the insurance. So 20 years is fine. So that's the term of it. About 20 years is recommended, but you need to time that so when your children don't need it anymore. Whole life insurance, this is another type of insurance. This is a package of life insurance, savings, healthcare, all kind of mixed into one, and a generous commission to the sales agent that sold it to you. It's usually sold in person, perhaps even door to door, has very large commissions. Up to half of the policy that you're paying is actually going to pay the salesperson or the middleman or the company. And it's much, much more expensive. I mean, it may be thousands of dollars per month. And so we would recommend get your insurance with an insurance company. Do your investing with an investing company, do your savings with a bank company. You don't need to combine them all together and pay a premium for that. No, get some term life insurance. It's very simple. Do the research for yourself or ask your coach if you're going through this in a course or a connect group. But don't, you know, do your homework first. So have a look at that. So personally, you can know we have term life insurance for 20 years. It's going to cover us. It's going to cover the kids. We're going to be fine. And there's just a lot of peace of mind at that, hey, if I happen to pass away or the worst happened, that my family is taken care of. And so have a look into it. Be wary of anything that comes with a salesperson. Remember, anything that comes with a person or a salesperson, yes, it's good sometimes to get knowledge and advice, but you know you actually are paying a fee for that as well. So have a look online and at Term Life Insurance. Medical insurance. What is medical insurance? Well, medical insurance is insurance to cover the gap between the government's health insurance, the public health insurance, and hospital fees that you may have. And oftentimes for a longer stay in hospital, it can be very expensive. Maybe it can be $50 or $100 per day, something like $3,000 a month, depending on what city, what country you're living in. And so medical insurance is going to cover that gap because that gap is not covered by public health insurance in most cases. So the cost to medical insurance is approximately $20 per month for up to $100 of coverage per day if you happen to get sick. It might be more expensive depending on your age. And most plans also include extra bonus payments, or they're going to give you extra money if you need extra cancer treatment or something like that, new or advanced treatments. And so this is relatively inexpensive. Yes, you may not use it, but if you are in hospital for an extended period of time, you would have wished you had medical insurance. In fact, when our second child, Rayma, was born, when our daughter was born, Rayma was born in the car. That's a story in itself. And but we were fine because we had this emergency fund. We were ready for that. And in fact, it turned into a blessing. We didn't end up using it. And we were actually blessed for that situation. But also when our fourth child, Jaira, was born, the doctor told Yuki that she had to stay in hospital for a month before he was born. So Yuki was actually on bed rest in hospital for a month. And that was actually really expensive. It was about $100 a day or more that we were going to have to pay. But luckily, we had the medical insurance. And so rather than us paying that extra $3,000 bill for that time in hospital, the medical insurance covered all of that. And so there's peace of mind there. Would recommend medical insurance for sure. And the last insurance that we would recommend is long-term disability insurance. This is similar to loss of life insurance, that life insurance, but this is insurance to cover your loss of income in case you have an accident that prevents you from working. This is more expensive than the other insurances because it's actually a lot more common. It's more common these days that if you had a car accident or something happened to you, that you're still alive, but maybe you can't work the job that you are working in. Maybe you use your hands to do things. I don't know, you might chop your hand off or something. You can't work. Or maybe you got brain damage or brain trauma and you can't think or act in a certain way. And so this is insurance to cover, to give you money to cover your salary in case you can't work. So the approximate cost for this is about $50 for $3,000 per month salary. So it's relatively more expensive, and it is more expensive depending on your age. But once again, it's a peace of mind insurance. Maybe you're not going to insure up to your whole salary. Maybe that's going to be expensive, but you do want to have something that, hey, if I get a disability, if I get in an accident, if something happens, well, there's going to be insurance that's going to pay me a monthly salary because I can't work if that happened. And so these are the three insurances: term life insurance, medical insurance, long-term disability insurance. Let's get those interaction during this step. And let's also save up our beginner emergency fund of $1,000 and let's get ready for anything. And when you get these three in place, you've started, you've got a budget, and you've got your emergency fund, you've got your insurances in place, you are doing better than 90% of people in the world. Now, you're going to have to do some research. You're going to have to fill out some forms. You're going to have to look at some stuff online. You're going to have to ask some questions. There's a bit of homework to these steps, but it's going to be worth it. And the peace of mind and the sleep easy, your husband or wife is going to thank you. And if something did happen, your family and your children, of course, would also thank you. So hope this step has been helpful to you. Can't wait for our next step, session 3, next time. But I'll tell you what, have a great week. If you have any questions, remember, ask your coach or ask your Connect Group leader if you've got any questions about this step. But hey, have a great week. Looking forward to hearing from you, working all of this stuff out for this step. And we'll see you next time for session 3.